Welcome to the Locke Associates Group series of podcasts, where you'll get to know our experts, who will take you through our legal, HR, wellbeing, and mediation services, giving you a deeper insight as to why people are our business.
I'm Paul Harvey, and welcome to the Locke Associates Group series of podcasts. I'm with Bruce Jenner and Kez Yeo for this particular podcast episode, and we'll be talking about HR medical services. But before we go into the topic, I would just like to turn to Bruce and Kez. And Bruce, first of all, can I ask you to describe your role with Locke?
My role with Locke is quite multifaceted. I do cover quite a few things. Fundamentally, I'm a qualified nurse by profession, and I do lots of wellness testing for companies. I do lots of training, first aid, particularly for GP practices, dental practices, schools, that type of thing. I also work for the HR side of the company, looking at progressive absence management, HR medical specialist, which is quite different. It's looking and helping employers understand what's wrong with people and how to support them in the workplace or help them return to work.
And Kez, could you describe your role with Locke Associates?
I'm one of the HR consultants at Locke Associates. So we provide a range of services and a range of support to our clients, from just dealing with what comes in day to day, whether that's a sickness, whether it's disciplinary or grievance concern, or more project work. It could be specific training or looking at reviewing and updating documents for clients.
Thank you. So let's talk about HR medical services overview. Kez, could I turn to you to get the ball rolling on this?
Yeah, absolutely. So the range of HR medical services that we provide as Locke Associates really aim at encouraging employers to be proactive and not just reactive, not waiting till there's an issue or waiting until something we actually did know about has now come further down the line and is causing problems. And then also we offer services that look at what kind of culture and what kind of message are you sending to your employees? What do you support and what do you encourage in their lifestyle, which is good for them? Yeah, in terms of being proactive, we have a range of services to try and, I suppose, encourage employees to understand what staff are going through or what issues they may have and how we can support them at an earlier stage. So one of those services is the HR Medical Specialist Service, which I know we have done a separate podcast on. And it involves a conversation with one of our HR medical specialists. Bruce is one of those. And it just means that if there's an issue, whether it's an already diagnosed condition or if there's a pattern of absence, for example, or behaviour changing, then it allows them to speak to someone who is an expert in the medical field, who can understand what they're going through and can relate it to the managers. And then we can work with the employer, with the managers, on what we might do going forward, how this might play out going forward, those symptoms, or if they're taking medication, for example, how that might affect them at work, and what can we do to prevent there being an issue and to make sure that it works smoothly and they're able to still do their role and enjoy their role. And I think Bruce has some great examples of times where we've managed to step in and help out and have a good impact.
This is quite an interesting one, and I've got a couple of good cases. We had one company who had an employee. He was working with machinery, things like that. And part of the health and safety thing is he needed to have steel toe caps. That was one of the things. He'd been off work for quite some time with his feet and couldn't return to work because he needs specially made boots for his work and incorporate steel toe caps. These were going to be running around about £1,000 a pair. They were going to need three pairs, and the small company was saying, we don't know how we can afford this. So they got me involved, and I spoke to him, and I found out that he was very comfortable in trainers, so we got him some work trainers with steel toe caps. The problem was solved for £56, and he returned back to work quite happily.
I bet he was delighted.
He was absolutely delighted, you're right, because he wanted to be at work. Yeah, he wasn't trying to get out of it, but he just couldn't go back to work in the normal boots because the surgery and things that he'd had on his feet, couldn't wear them. So he was good. I think the other side is we can take it to the other extreme. I had two cases, very, very sad. Two ladies with terminal cancer. They'd run out of sick pay. The company didn't know what to do. And in all honesty, people are frightened of talking to terminally ill people. And they got us involved, and I had a conversation with these two ladies and sort of put the cards on the table. They were both end stage cancer. They were about to die. They have subsequently died tragically and very sadly. But we managed to work out that we could give them all their holiday pay, all their accrued pay, terminal sickness pay and everything, and pay it out to them. And this is literally just before their last Christmas. And because of a death in service clause with the HMRC, we could actually give it to them tax free. And they were absolutely delighted. And we ended the relationship. We ended the relationship with the companies on a really, really positive note. They weren't upset. They got their payments. They got their payments just before Christmas. And one of the ladies actually died on the 2nd of January. But the family were really, really grateful. So I think there's lots and lots of things we can do going from one extreme to the other.
And does this come under proactive absence management?
Yeah, I mean, funnily enough, it is a trademark term that we've got, proactive absence management. And that's because as a company, we really believe that getting involved early can really sort of mitigate problems down the line. So if you've got somebody that's unwell, as Kez has said, going off sick, there's a pattern to it. If we can get involved early enough, we can usually find out what's going on. And sometimes it's relationships. Sometimes they're suffering with depression, but not telling everybody they're suffering with depression. People don't have the sort of conversations probably that we as medical professional people are happy to have. And we will ask the questions because we're used to in our clinical work asking those types of questions. We know how to couch them. We know how to phrase them. So we get back responses and we can actually work out what's going on. And we can support the employer in getting them back to work or resolving the problem or making adjustments to their job so that they can actually return to work in a positive manner. If there is a problem, then we can start working on solutions with the employer to actually manage these problems and deal with them in a kind and, I'm going to say, respectful manner.
We do genuinely find that sometimes the conversations are just put to the side and they don't happen for months when there has been something going on this entire time, and it kind of comes to us once it's erupted a bit more and it's something that could have been prevented. And I think one of the reasons that happens is because often the manager dealing with it just doesn't feel that they have the skills or the knowledge to have the conversations that need to happen. So while it's support for the employee, it is also support from the manager and enabling them and helping them to take on that case and to have those conversations and to understand what's going on.
So are you both medically trained in some way?
I'm professionally qualified and we have a couple of professionally qualified people working with us. We have Josh, who's a qualified paramedic. We've got Rick, who's another qualified nurse. So there's basically three of us that are professional people. Within the company, we've also made sure that our HR medical specialists, like our HR guys like Kez, are actually mental health first aid trained so they can pick up on the signs and spot that there's something going on so that we can intervene. And they usually pass them over to us and then we will have a bit more of a deep dive into the situation and use our background to try and assess the issues and the problems and help people through those.
How unique is this service that you provide amongst other law firms?
For me, I don't know anybody else that does it. I've not come across anybody else that does it. It really is a bespoke service, I suppose. Kez, do you know anybody else that does it?
No, so I don't. And I guess what we tend to get compared to, although it isn't the same, is it's not exactly the same, is the occupational health assessments. And while there is, of course, a place for them, often they aren't going to be quite what you need. And there are, I guess, just gaps where using our service, it enables the employee to have conversation with our HR medical specialist, but also it enables the HR medical specialist to discuss with management what to do going forward. And yeah, there's just a few ways that it is different.
Very different to occupational health.
Yeah.
Occupational health, the definition is for occupational health is paid for by the employer, but the person that occupational health is working for is the employee. Yeah, we bridge the gap. Yeah, we work for both is the way I look at it. We can have discussions because most of the time, because we're not working within our professional capacity, we're working in an HR capacity. There is no confidentiality. We make that very clear at the beginning and those sorts of things so that we can talk to the employer. We get permission from them to talk to the employer and have in-depth discussions. I think for me, that's one of the big differences anyway.
It's a very strong USP, isn't it, for the firm? I can see that.
Please don't get me wrong. I mean, where appropriate, the first thing that we would do is actually refer somebody to occupational health. If there is need for an occupational health assessment and occupational health services, we're very aware of where the line is. And part of our services is, yes, they definitely need occupational health. And we would advise them when we arrange for them to go to see occupational health. That's the beauty is, you know, people are referring people to occupational health when what they actually need is not occupational health, it's HR input. That gap we cut out, that sort of problem.
So let's move on to services to help employers look after staff. Kez, can we look at some of the headings that we should be looking at?
I mean, this is kind of around the testing that you can provide to staff, and many employers do. Some don't and maybe aren't aware. I think if you are able to offer this to your staff, it's really good just in terms of morale and the culture that you're creating, and you're thinking about your employer brand and going the extra mile for your employees, showing you care about them and their well-being, their welfare, which is part of the duty of an employer to, you know, look after and protect the employee's welfare. And yes, we're able to come onto site with the clients and do some testing for their staff, and Bruce can tell you more about what that looks like. But yeah, we can do wellness checks, glucose testing, prostate screening. I'll let Bruce explain those in a bit more detail.
I suppose the main one is everybody's heard of the NHS MOT testing. Mostly the people that take that up are retired people because they're not working. They go to the GP and they get their testing. When people are working, the uptake amongst people that are actually employed, because they have to take time off work, they have to go to the doctor, they have to spend time now, then return back to the work, they don't go. So what we do is fundamentally is pretty similar to that testing. We do the usual things, height, weight, BMI, all those sorts of testing. But on top of that, we do some additional blood testings where we do things like glucose testing. The A1C one, which is the easiest way to describe it, is like a diabetes prediction test. And either you are not diabetic, you could be in a pre-diabetic phase, or you're diabetic. We can tell that by a simple finger prick blood test. We can do prostate surface antigen testing, which is not a test for cancer, which people really get. It's just testing for elevated levels of antigen. And if we get those elevated levels, then we send them to the GP, of which one of the diagnoses they may come up with could be prostate cancer, but not always. We do allergy, food allergy intolerant testing. And some employers, because of the nature of their work, big workforces on building sites and things like that, we also do drug and alcohol testing. And we can do that on regular basis or spontaneous random testing, just to make sure that, you know, they've got nobody at work that is indulging in substances that may, if they're operating or driving lorries, cranes, those sorts of things, building things, to make sure that they are adhering to the highest safety measures.
Now we're coming out of the pandemic and people are slowly returning back to work after over a year now. Do you think that employers should now really look at these sort of services for staff that haven't been, you know, just haven't been examined or thought about for a long period of time now?
I think we are going to see a lot of issues because of what's happened over the last 12 months. We're already seeing increased levels in mental ill health and physical ill health. We've got one side of the fence which turned into COVID lockdown fitties, and then we've got the other side that turned down into COVID couch potatoes. It's very hard to motivate yourself when you're down. So I think anything that we do that engages staff and looks at well-being in any way, shape or form is going to be really, really important in the next 12 months. If a company doesn't want to go to the expense of running wellness testing, even encouraging staff to go and see their GP to get the testing done, I think is going to be really important. Certainly on the lookout for mental ill health, particularly anxiety and anxiety around COVID and those sorts of things that are just going to be absolutely crucial for any employee in any way, shape or form that we can get out there.
Oh, I can well understand that. I went to my tennis club very recently to catch up with people, and one or two of my contacts were complaining about pulling muscles and creaky knee joints, and they'd been couch potatoes for months and months. What did they expect? They put, you know, pressure on their body. It wasn't ready for it.
Yeah, you've got to reintroduce these things fairly slowly and in stages to actually avoid some of the serious injuries. But it's not just that. I mean, there's weight, there's cardiovascular disease, long COVID, there's lots and lots of other things that are raising their heads. I mean, certainly on the mental ill health side, anxiety and depression, and anxiety about coming out of COVID and actually even just returning to work. You know, oh my God, you know, we haven't been at work because we've not been allowed to, you know. They're imagining that the workplace is riddled with COVID. I can't go in there because I'll get it. Some of it's unrealistic, but it's very real to them.
Anxiety is a real issue, isn't it? It's a poison. It can damage you physically as well.
Physically, mentally, it can be all-consuming and cause really significant issues, yeah.
So managing a return to work that we've touched on, and how important is it to refresh this first aid training for staff then? Let's just look at this again.
This is another service that we provide, is the first thing. There is a legal obligation for every business to assess their first aid requirement, and then based on that risk assessment is to implement those standards into the workplace. And what's happened with COVID is, instead of the regular updates that people go to, people have lapsed in their certification. HSE has given them a break, but it's now saying that you've got to start retraining people and making sure that there is adequate first aid cover within the workplace. Lots of it depends on the size of the business and what the actual business does. For example, small two-man band business, their need for a full first aid trained person is probably not required. They probably just need to make sure that everyone knows the two people in the business know to call 999, like a named person, yeah? And each of them is a named person in the event someone dials 999. If you've got a workforce ranging in their 20s, 30s, then there's going to be a requirement to make sure that you've got the full 3-day first aid at work course. There's enough people in the business to make sure every area is covered. And then you've got the in-between with the 1-day emergency first aid at work course. If you're dealing with children, pediatrics come into it as well. So you can deal with all the major stuff, heart attacks, choking, seizures, but also can deal with the minor injuries and the minor illnesses that people get. On top of physical first aid, you've also, and I think is absolutely crucial, particularly coming out of COVID, is the mental health first aid. We are seeing so many more people with mental ill health following lockdown and anxiety through COVID. So we do run mental health first aid courses, which is a 2-day course, which basically looks at mental ill health and an approach on how you can approach people, ask the tricky questions. And then fundamentally, the idea is not to train someone to be a psychologist or a psychiatrist or anything like that, just a first aider, and those principles is to signpost them out to help, and how you would do that, who you can contact, and how you can manage it. So the mental health first aid course, for me, probably one of the big key things that employers need to be looking at.
It's a course I've been on, and I definitely think that it just increases your confidence to have those conversations that you may have previously thought would just be too overwhelming. And it gives you the knowledge, just as Bruce says, you just start to see certain things that you think may be abnormal, maybe something else is going on, and and you don't need to make a massive deal out of it, but you can start to ask questions to find out more and see whether that is the case. And I think, yeah, when we're thinking about what working environments are like going forward, whether that's remotely or hybrid, it could be easier in the earlier stages for people to hide because you're not necessarily seeing them all the time. And while I think a lot of workplaces are aware that if they're working remotely with the staff, they need to make sure they are still catching up, touching base, not always work related, just finding out how someone is doing, what they've got going on in their life. Not everyone is good at that. Not every manager has really developed those people skills. A lot of them are in management position due to technical skills. And I think it's just something to be aware of, that we need to make sure that there are people among colleagues who feel that they have the knowledge and the confidence to notice if something might be a concern, someone's acting a bit different to normal, and just being able to confidentially have a conversation with them.
Guys, this is a fascinating area. I mean, there must be a lot of people that don't realise the state of their mental health until they actually go back to work. Then how do you spot the difference, you know?
We work with a variety of different types of clients in different industries, so you get quite a broad spectrum. And one or two issues that have come up recently have been from people who have coped, or they thought they had coped until recently, and it's almost kind of hit them. And actually, we're starting to notice certain patterns, or just lack of engagement, lack of boundaries in their working life, and allowing kind of work to spill over quite, you know, late into the weekend, evenings or on the weekends, and quite regularly as well. Yeah, I would say that although a lot of people may have thought they were doing okay, they're starting to realise that maybe it is having an effect on them. So I think that will happen. I think that as time goes on, more and more people will be aware that even if it's not a major, major impact, there is something affecting them, and they need to make sure they recognise it and know what to do to manage it and get that routine back in and get the balance what is healthy and what isn't.
Sure. Well, let's hope that employers are becoming more sensitive to this and become better employers for it.
I second that. And I would also say that I think my take is more employers are taking time to consider this and are working towards supporting their employees.
I hope that that's going to be the future as well, Bruce. So, Bruce and Kez, if people want to get in touch with you to find out more information about what you do and about what Lock Associates can offer them, how can people get in touch with you?
We're in the digital age. Certainly get our number, look it up on the website. You've got email contacts there, you've got telephone contacts there. So for me, look us up on the web and drop us a line. Kez?
Yep, so the website is lockassociates.co.uk, and there you can find our articles, our other podcasts, and an overview of all the HR medical services that we offer. And you can also follow us on LinkedIn at Lock Associates Group, and we are often posting updates and what that might mean for employers and kind of top tips on there as well.
Thank you very much, Bruce and Kez. This has been a fascinating podcast about HR medical services with Lock Associates. I'm Paul Harvey, and join us next time with another Lock Associates Group podcast.
Thank you for listening to this Lock Associates Group podcast. For more information about our award-winning team and why our services are shaped to meet your business needs, please go to lockassociates.co.uk.